Second down, Brewer. Throwing for the corner of the end zone. It's caught, touchdown.
Third and goal. Pass, Covey. Touchdown, Utah. Britton Covey. Second touchdown of the game. And the Utes right back.
The Charlie Brewer era at the University of Utah is over just after three games. Three touchdowns, three interceptions, 160 yards a game. Cam Rising, come on down. You're going to be the guy. Cam in that game against San Diego State, 19 of 32 passing, 153 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions, brought the Utes back to the point where they took that game into overtime before finally losing.
Was nearly a hero in the triple overtime, delivering a pass that nearly found its mark to a tight end, initially called good,
yeah,
then reviewed and waved off. Could have been just a little bit more push into that pass, but they have belief in Cam Rising. It's just, He got beat out, and he's been injured, and I just don't know if he's the guy that you want to put all your hopes in for a season long going through this conference season. I wish that Brewer was at least there as the backup.
Yeah. No choice anymore, though.
I would say that this does change the mental dynamic for Cam Rising and the way he takes on the Washington State Cougars. Because in the back of his mind, he'll never be like, well, if I throw one pick, they're going to put Charlie Brewer in. Think about it that way.
Yeah.
Charlie Brewer's not there. Think about how much that would plague him mentally to know that Charlie Brewer is standing on the sideline. I throw one pick. Am I going to be pulled? Is it going to be Charlie Brewer coming back in? So maybe he plays a little bit more mentally free, knowing that Brewer's not there?
How about this? Is this an opportunity? Now, granted, you got four games. You can hold on to him and hold on to his redshirt year, but is this something that could Peter Castelli get in the mix before it's all said and done? One of the higher-rated quarterbacks that Utah's brought in.
I think that you should engage that and see, but yeah, why not elevate him
to the two? You got four games to put him out there and see what he can do.
You know, I understand why Utah fans.
By the way, you mean to tell me this guy's a freshman? He looks like an offensive coordinator for a team.
Yeah, he does. He does.
That's an old looking dude.
He's 6'3". Yeah, a lot of people remember his recruitment. He was a big signee for Utah. I understand why Utah fans would be a little surly with the quarterback situation over the years. Watching Zach Wilson do what Zach Wilson did, and knowing that Mike, his dad, played at Utah, had to have been really frustrating. Watching over the weekend Jackson Dart do what he did for USC.
Yep.
And I believe that his dad played for Utah.
Don't know about that one.
I believe he did.
Okay. I'll take your word on that one.
If it wasn't his dad, it was his uncle. But I know that there was a family play connection for the University of Utah.
Are you saying this is the curse of Jack Tuttle for the University of Utah?
Because it was Tuttle over Wilson?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. But
Utes have their own Billy Goat curse going on here.
Tyler Huntley did a good job, you know, from that point. I mean, beat out Tuttle was a high-end prospect and came in to take that job and couldn't do it. But there's probably some to that. So no Jackson Dart, no Zach Wilson. Both of them, you know, both of them having family ties.
Yeah. But did the Utes ever really have a shot at Jackson Dart, do you think?
Well, I don't know. They never, from what I understand, they never offered.
They never offered him?
Not that I know of.
Okay, now that's a problem.
Had you heard of that?
I thought everybody and their dog had offered that kid. But if Utah never offered Jackson Dart, then holy smokes.
If they did, maybe it was too late. Let me look up his offer sheet. This is where you and I don't really shine.
Yeah, because we don't really pay a lot of attention to high school recruiting. But if that's the case, then yeah, okay, that's a massive miss on a legacy kid that everybody that had a school, that had a football team at their school was trying to get him to come. That's a high level, you know, you got a guy that's winning National Player of the Year awards. And if you're not offering, that's a big miss.
Okay, let's see. So I see USC offered, Arizona State offered, BYU offered, Iowa State offered. Let's see. Got to hit the complete list of teams. Well, look at the bottom.
Offer, no. Okay, then. All right.
So that was kind of what I understood, because I was upset that Jackson Dart was leaving town, and I mentioned that to somebody. I said, why would you leave town if your goal is to play in the Pac-12? Why leave town? Stay here, be a hometown hero if you can. And if you really want to play in the Pac-12, you got the chance to do that. And what was said to me was he didn't have the offer. So
even the Raging Cajuns offered him.
Yes, Lloyd, and they were in till the very end.
That was a tough one to turn down.
Yeah, Louisiana really came in hard.
The Fordham Rams even offered.
Yeah, Fordham nearly had him if it wasn't for those pesky kids.
They been really growing up saying, man, I really want to play for Fordham.
No. Is anybody growing up saying, I know what Fordham is? Because I don't think so. So that's pretty tough pills to swallow, because Lloyd, I don't know for sure, but Corner Canyon's got another baller. His name is Devin Brown.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Devin Brown has an offer from the University of Utah. Let me see. Again,
Rhino tweets in, says Utes never had a shot with Dart. Very clearly he wanted to go out of state. Probably recognize that early on. As of Tuttle, if we need to sacrifice him to Joe Boo, let's get on with it.
Okay, well,
I like the major league reference.
You know, one thing that I've always learned is if a player doesn't want to come play for you, don't offer him and don't try. Stupid. That's stupid. No, right now Devin Brown does not have an offer from the University of Utah. He's got Wisconsin, Oregon State, Northwestern, Michigan State, Arizona State, Iowa State, Arizona, UCLA, Ole Miss, USC.
So Lane Kiffin is offered
Devin
Utah,
Brown.
But Utah is not offered.
Not that I see yet. So, and I don't mean to be abrasive with that. You're right, Lloyd. I don't mean to be abrasive with that comment, but I think it's ridiculous.
I think you can be abrasive because you should be.
Okay, so you think that NC State has a chance with Devin Brown? No. But guess who offered him?
NC
guess
State?
Who's courting him? Yeah. You think Arizona's got a chance with him? No. But Arizona's in there offering him and courting him. He's an in-state kid. He's class of 22.
If nothing else, develop that relationship, offer him, love him up, because if it doesn't work out and he wants to come back home, then he knows that, well, I got to know that coaching staff. I like that coaching staff, and I want to come back home.
Okay, have local kids taken a back seat?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure they have.
There you go, then.
Yeah, Texas and Florida have become very interesting. California's always been interesting.
Yeah.
In-state, not as interesting. When it comes to quarterbacks, certainly. What's the last in-state quarterback you've seen at the University of Utah?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Lloyd?
I don't know.
So we just saw one at BYU.
Who was the like third or fourth stringer that Tyler Huntley, or not Tyler Huntley, that had to tie his shoes so he could get him out on the field in a bowl game?
Schultz?
I don't think Schultz was.
No, Schultz wasn't.
You know who I'm talking about, Lloyd?
Yeah,
Was it Drew Lisk?
Lisk. It was Drew Lisk.
Is he a local kid?
I'm pretty sure he was.
Let's see. Yep. Drew Lisk.
Yep, Jordan. Beat Digger.
Jordan, yep. But it's not like he's pounding down the door to be the starting quarterback at Utah anytime soon.
Well, after what I saw from Jackson Dart in his debut for USC, as USC lost their starting quarterback in the first quarter, and Jackson Dart goes on to throw nearly 400 yards in a single game against Washington State. It makes you wonder how that kid wasn't recruited from day one. Why? As a freshman, as a young talent, keep him here in the state. You know, Utah, for one reason or the other, Utah has not identified or loved up or sought after local quarterback talent. And I just don't know if I believe the whole, well, Jackson Dart was going to leave from the get-go. Well, maybe Jackson had somebody come in the door and say to him very early, hey, we love you around here. And that's all it takes with some kids. You know, I'm seeing it on a pretty personal level. I'm seeing how early love for a kid that feels like a person or a school loves him, how much it can sway the way he grows up playing the game. Mm-hmm. And the way he sees recruiting and the way he feels about his future and where he wants to play and who he wants to play for.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just an early conversation, a vote of confidence, early. Seventh grade, eighth grade, freshman year, where somebody just says to the kid at a camp, we love you around here. We're watching you close. Here's a couple shirts. Don't tell anybody. We love you. You ain't going anywhere. You're going to stay right here in the great state of Utah. Or I played for your dad, or your dad played for me, or your dad played out here. I just wanted to send you a quick note and let you know we love you. And we're watching you. We got faith in you. Well, what does that kid do the next weekend? He turns on their game.
Yeah.
He watches their style.
Or if he's in your office in the fifth or sixth grade, you let him eat all the candy out of your candy dish.
Just let him eat it. Don't put up resistance. Just let him eat it. Be like, you like that candy? There's more in my cupboard.
And if you have to, I'll send the assistant go grab some more.
You never know when those little fun-size mini crunch bars are going to pay off for you.
Oh, how they do so often. But that's what it really is about. That's what recruiting's about.
Yeah.
And what's incredible is I'm watching guys that are good at it. Like I'm seeing guys that are really good at it. And I'm seeing guys that aren't so good at it.
Yeah.
And I just don't know because I don't live in the quarterback world. So I don't know what exactly happened with the Zach Wilson situation here in the state of Utah. But I can't imagine that Zach goes anywhere other than Utah if Utah comes and really starts recruiting early. I feel the same with Jackson Dart. Even with USC coming in, Utah's like, oh, hold on. We're going to it's the Norm Chow factor. We're going to change everything, and we're going to make this a system that fits you because we want you to stay here in the state and play for the school your dad played for and play in the Pac-12 and give us a Pac-12 championship. You want a Rose Bowl? We can get you to the Rose Bowl. We'll get you there. Just come lead this team. So I'm all of this is hindsight. It is. It's hindsight. I get it. It's so easy for me to do this. I know. And I apologize because it is easy for me to initiate hindsight and say, well, how come you didn't recruit Jackson Dart? Well, maybe they saw it and just didn't think that he was going to mount. Maybe they're watching Devin Brown and they're like, well, yeah, he's good, but not worth the offer. But to have those two not have an offer from the University of Utah, well, that's because they didn't want to go there. What? How are you supposed to get them if you look at them and you're like, oh, you don't want to go here? Well, we're not going to offer you. You walk into that room and you're like, not only do you have an offer, but kid, we will make you famous. You are going to make money here in the state. We're going to get you name, image, and likeness deals. We are you will never buy a meal in this state ever again. And when you're done, we'll put you through graduate school. You want to go into cancer research specialty or whatever doctor angle you want to take, we got that. And we've got clinics that are ready to hire you the second you're done with football, after you're done with the NFL. Like, you get in there and recruit these kids.
Yeah.
Well, the word was you didn't want to go there. What kind of lame excuse is that? I wasn't exactly thinking BYU when I decommitted from Nebraska 2 weeks before signing day and went to BYU. I never thought about BYU. I took an unofficial visit there.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't want to go, so why even give him an offer? Stupid. No, it's not how you recruit. If that's how you're recruiting, you better reassess how you're recruiting. You get in and give the kid an offer. You find your best talent, and you give the kid an offer.
Well, it's going to mess with our numbers. So what?
I'm getting myself worked up, but it's bewildering to me that Jackson Dart, Zach Wilson, and Devin Brown, the three best quarterbacks to come out of the state, have not had an offer from the University of Utah.
Yeah.
Did Zach Wilson? He might have late. Zach probably did late.
From Utah?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I thought he never did get an offer from Utah.
Lloyd, do you know the answer? Maybe.
And if I'm wrong on that, I'm fully.
Yeah, I'm with you, Scott. I don't think he got an offer.
I don't think it was ever there.
Are you guys kidding me? Let me.
We'll get into that coming up next segment. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. Now's the time to call 801-438-7058. That's 801-438-7058. 20 offices from Logan and Nephi. If you're hearing our voice, there's going to be a place near you.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, I wish I had the passion right now that Hans was displaying. And I can do it without coming across like scary. But that's how important football is to Hans is how important hearing should be
to all of us.
To all of us.
Zach Wilson did not have a Utah offer.
Thank you.
So now I'm really attuned up and
you're ready to blow, buddy.
Yeah, I am. But
it's like you look like a shook up soda pop.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's three quarterbacks here in the state that didn't have an offer from the Pac-12 school in the state. It's kind of weird. But you're right. You're right, Matt. It is about the hearing aid. I apologize.
No, you're awesome, buddy. I love the passion. And you know what's cool is you're going to find similar passion. Same passion with our providers. You know, not so much me. You're never going to see me in an office. I'm too busy doing this stuff and educating and taking the time out and making sure people are aware of my hearing centers. But when you get into our office and you sit down with our providers, you're going to see this type of passion about hearing and about hearing health and about making sure and about you and your life and your lifestyle. The nice thing is you don't have to believe me for it. Go on our reviews. You know, each of our offices, I think it has over 100 reviews independently of each other. And you can go on our offices and see what the patients are saying. And they don't talk about the hearing aids. They don't talk about my hearing centers. What they talk about is that provider in the office and the great things he or she did to help them achieve their goals of better hearing.
So you don't hand them that pack, here's your hearing aids, and boot them out the door and say,
yeah,
we're done.
Yeah, it's closer to like what you're going to get from going to Disneyland or Disney World, right? You're going to get that experience where it's a little bit magical, it's a little bit different, a little bit better. Our goal isn't to help sell hearing aids. It's never been our goal. We want to help people with better hearing. Better hearing happens because of hearing aids, good diagnostic testing, but most importantly with that provider that's there to hold your hand and lead you down the path step by step. Because especially for people that are new-time hearing aid wearers, it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not like picking up your eyeglasses, putting them on, and saying, ah, here we go, I'm looking better. It's a process because you're retraining your brain how to hear.
Yeah.
Right? You're retraining it to hear certain things, to block out the background noise, to understand the consonants versus the vowel sounds. And it can take some time, especially if, like we talked earlier, Hans, if your hearing's really damaged, it can take a lot of time to help get that back.
Well, and that's why, you know, that 30 days is very helpful too.
That's why we do the 30 days, and that's why it's risk-free, because we want you to come in and have that time with the hearing aids, because we're going to make some adjustments. The hearing aids have a really cool algorithm that says, okay, new hearing aid wear, we're not going to go full blast. We're going to go to like 80%, maybe 65%, depending on your hearing loss. And then we're going to slowly bring that hearing up over time, over the next week or two. So you start at 80. By the time you come see us next time, you're at 100%, and you didn't even know it changed.
That's incredible.
That's great. Call right now, 801-438-7058. Call now, 801-438-7058. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Ready. It's game week for the Utes, and the Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff. The Utes open up Pac-12 play as they welcome in Washington State for an early start. Listen all week for your chance to win tickets to the game and then catch the Ute pregame show Saturday at 10:30 with a postgame show immediately following the game on the Zone Sports Network. From Monday morning to the postgame press conference, nobody brings you better coverage of Ute football.
You ready?
Yeah!
Than 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. It's time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
.75 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans and Scotty. You know, one thing with pizza is like I'm not a snob when it comes to pizza. Like I can go give me the cheap $5, give me the expensive stuff that I get for the staff meetings.
Yeah.
I'm good either way.
Like I'm a little snobby when it comes to like pineapple and stuff.
Well, I mean snobby on toppings, yeah, but I'll get the cheap stuff, and I think it's, you know, if you get the right person slapping it together, it can be really good.
I want to get you over to Mountain Mike's. It's delicious.
Oh, I can't wait. Can't wait to check that place out.
Oh, it's really, really good. There's some good joints here in the state.
Yeah, we've got good pizza here.
But I'm kind of with you. Like I bite into pizza, I'm like, well, I'm just grateful I'm getting this pizza. And it's tasty.
Yeah. My neighbor got one of those pizza ovens. And
those are expensive.
Yeah, the pizzas that are coming out of, he was popping out of that thing, were just crazy good. Oh.
Which reminds me, we haven't been at the store for a while.
Hey, but DJ.
But the pizzas coming out of that pizza oven are good. That sweet and
Scotty,
spicy.
DJ, come on. Let's. We're happy to stop by.
And at 2 o'clock, we're happy to stick around.
We have not had. Oh wow, yeah, that's going to be a pain in the butt. Yeah. We haven't had the. We need to have a rib competition round two. And you need to get involved in this.
No, don't want to. It'll have to be after the football season now.
I know. Yeah, because we're packed the rest of the year.
Yeah, it's not easy to sneak that in.
I can't let Bob Casper sit on this title for a year.
It's,
or 2 years.
It's been a full year now.
I know. It was last September.
Yeah.
It's almost a year to the, it's the middle of September.
Did we do that in the middle of the football season?
BYU had started. We were still waiting on Utah and Utah State to get started.
That's right.
Yeah.
All delayed.
All right. Time for Sports Roulette. Some of the big storylines we've not had a chance to get to. Put on a roulette wheel and spin it. Lloyd, fire that bad boy up.
Great career.
J.J. Redick is done. Finally leaving the game of basketball. 37 years old. Averaged 13 points over 940 career games. Scotty, he's been around the game for a long, long time. Had a fantastic career. Used his shooting ability to do it. Obviously, he's always tenacious, feisty. But J.J. Redick calling it quits for the NBA. He says that basketball became a number two priority or number three priority it was on the back burner. And once that happens, it's really hard to be a professional athlete.
He's got a very successful podcast. And I think that's probably where he's heading into that realm that'll parlay it into, I'm sure, a nice media career for him as well.
He was a good one, man.
Yeah.
I think Jazz fans hate him, don't they?
I think a lot of people that did not have him on their NBA team hated him. He was probably one of the most hated college players.
Yeah, he was
Duke
a Dukey.
Yeah, he was a Duke guy. Everybody hated him when he played at Duke. Everybody hated him when he made the jump to the NBA outside of a team. But he's one of those guys that you want on your team, though. You'll take him. Makes big shots. Plays big in big moments. It's a heck of a career.
Mm-hmm.
Now I got to see what the career earnings were on J.J. Redick.
My guess is you're in the $100 million range.
Yeah, I think he probably hit nine digits.
My guess is 120, 130.
Ooh, stick with the 120, 117.
Nice. Not a bad living.
No, not at all. Started in 06, 07 with Orlando. Played there for 6 years, then went to Milwaukee for a year. Played 4 years for the Clippers, then with the 76ers. Signed a nice contract there. A two-year, $25 million deal with the 76ers. And then finished out, made $13 million in New Orleans, and then another $13 in Dallas for a grand total of $117,000. He also gave up. Remember, keep in mind, he had a $13 million he was going to be on the books this upcoming season,
oh,
too.
Oh, wow. And left it.
Yeah.
Good for him. Go do what makes you happy now. You've done this long enough.
You get $117 million. You know, you figure you held on to about half of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nearly $60 million in career earnings.
Yep.
That should be able to allow you to ride off in the sunset. All right. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Get back to the University of Utah situation coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Total Recall coming up at 1:30 as well right here on The Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Time to bring in Nick Ford, the Youth Center.
For you guys who've been around, you're used to being 3-0 at this point in the season. It's been a long time since you weren't. How different does it feel now as you start conference play, basically to not be 3-0?
We're pissed off for greatness. It's not something, you know, you can sit here and dwell on because it will topple everything over. And looking at it the way we're looking at it, we know our mistakes. We know what we have to fix. We know what we have to get done. And we still have an opportunity to turn everything around. You know, there's still 9 games of conference play. We're 0-0 right now as we see it. That's why I said the team is very optimistic right now and willing right now because we see what we have in front of us. We understand what just happened, and we understand that we cannot continue to let that happen.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
.97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. As Charlie Brewer, no longer with the Utah football team, has decided to pack up and leave, Cam Rising will be your starter going forward for the Utes.
By the way, Utah fans, no reason to hate on the kid. Please don't tag him. Don't rip him up.
Don't be that guy.
Everybody's got their reasons. Scotty and I are trying to be as diplomatic about this as we can be on air. Everybody's got the reasons for what they do, and yeah, he's a college football player. I know that you've paid your ticket prices, and I know that you're invested, but there's no reason to just shred this kid. Scotty and I aren't shredding him. We're just kind of debating the decision, like what happened here. Why did it happen this way for him to just up and leave? But that's big news. That now makes Cam Rising your starting quarterback and only quarterback that is ready to take a college snap. Jaquinna Jackson was listed as your second quarterback. Scotty mentioned a up-and-coming freshman that is sitting there with still 4 games to go on a continued red shirt.
Yeah, Peter Castelli on the team. And I believe he did not play a senior year of high school because of COVID. So he is with the team. He has not played competitive football in a long, long time. Now, he can still play 4 games this year and still keep his redshirt year. So there are still some opportunities for him if they wanted to work him in and mop up situations or things along those lines, just to kind of get him back on the field and still protect his redshirt year, which I think is something that if the situation arises, that would not be a bad idea at all for Utah.
Okay, so moving, I mean, we've focused all of our time and attention on the quarterback situation, but moving away from the quarterback situation and looking at some of the other depth chart moments or recognitions, Jaron Kump and Braden Daniels are now listed as your starting tackles. No Simi Mwala,
yeah.
No Bam Olesinyi. Bam is listed as a second string. Simi is not even listed.
Yeah.
So now your backups are Falcon Kamatule and Bam Olesinyi. That's your backups at the tackle positions. And then at guard, you're now seeing Keaton Bills fill in at that left guard position where Braden Daniels was for the beginning parts of the season. Keaton Bills came in relief of Braden Daniels and got a holding call, and you know there were some moments from him. But Keaton Bills, I've always believed he's got the ability to be a fantastic offensive lineman, and hopefully he can still be that. So big shakeup there on your offensive line. No Simi Mwala listed.
Well, this offensive line has had some issues, there's no doubt, and it's one thing that I go back and, you know, sometimes we look back on a season and we think, wow, when coach said this, we should have paid more attention to it. When he mentioned this, we should have spent some more time on it. Like, I really think that we should have realized that Kyle Whittingham was nervous about his offensive line when he talked about it in camp, about that's the one position that we're still trying to work and get
straightened out.
And you thought, okay, it's Utah. They'll have a good offensive line. We've seen these guys. They'll be all right. Well, it was pretty prophetic because obviously this offensive line has got some major issues.
Another observation, the running back position. Mekhi Bernard listed as your one. Thomas has been listed as your one or two.
Yeah.
He is no longer on the depth chart. It is now Mekhi Bernard and TJ Pledger.
Yeah.
Which tells me that Thomas must have continued with some of his fumble issues through practice.
And you've mentioned that a couple times, where there's a lot of things that go on that we don't see that you can read into. The fact that Thomas only got one carry against San Diego State, correct?
Yeah.
And then is now completely off the depth chart. That would be another player. Wouldn't surprise me if he were to move on somewhere else.
Another surprising outcome. So you lose Vianney Mwala for the season. Defensive tackle, big boy. Was kind of the anchor of the middle of that defense. And instead of replacing him with one of the two Putatows, you replace him with Junior Tafuna. So Junior Tafuna listed as your starting D tackle. The Putatows are still listed as backups. Devin Kafusi listed as the other starter at defensive tackle. So there's that. Kind of an interesting development there. Your defensive backfield, mostly the same. Hayden Fury was listed as a starter, and he's done a really good job at that linebacker position. And I think that that's – and I say really good. He's had some very good moments at that backer position. I've seen him out of position one or two times, and I think I did a film review in the Weber State game where he got out of position once. But Hayden Fury is a guy that I think people are going to continue to learn more about who he is. He's just a sophomore.
Yeah.
Just a young guy working on that second line of defense. Is there anything else that jumps out to you with this depth chart?
Those are the big ones. I think the look, we're never going to gravitate towards the offensive line. Maybe outside of this show, we do. But that's usually not going to get your big headlines. But I think that was some pretty striking news on how they really attacked that thing. Let you behind the scenes a lot. A lot of times teams and coaches will release their depth chart before the season start in the game notes that come out every week. And then they never look at it ever again. It's like, okay, we put it out there. That's all you need to know. And it's really hard from my perspective. If I'm calling a game and it's week six or seven and I put together a spotting board based on that depth chart, and then I look and I'm like, well, this guy hasn't played in like 3 weeks. Well, they're like, meh, we don't care. You deal with it. So you got to go look in stats and see, okay, who really is playing out there? Because these coaches, they're not required to release depth charts. They put one out at the beginning of the season, then they just leave it alone and don't even touch it. I had one coach tell me when I talked about his depth chart, he's like, oh, I haven't even seen that in like 2 months. They didn't even care. This was a statement by Kyle Whittingham. Uh-huh. Not just the moves, but telling the whole world about the moves. Because they know that there's guys out there that gobble that stuff up. When those notes are released, they're looking at it, and they go item by item and then go right on Twitter if they see any changes. This was not just a, we're going to shake things up the lineup. We're going to tell the whole world what we're doing. And it's going to hit Twitter. It's going to hit social media. And everybody's going to know about it. And we're putting these kids on notice. Bam. Now, everybody else that's had some struggles out there, we're letting the world know that we're not happy with what you're doing and that you need to fix some stuff, or else you may need to go find a different school to play for.
Man, it's a big-time jumble. I think it's what Utah fans wanted to see. I think Utah fans are like, well, you can't just keep banging your head against the wall and expect different results. Like, you got to shake something up. And I would agree with them. I do think that Cam Rising, when Cam came in, he made the offensive line look better.
Yep.
Not excellent, but it made him look better.
Yeah. We talk about an offensive line making a quarterback look better. Sometimes the quarterback makes the offensive line look better.
Sure they do.
All right, we're live here at My Hearing Centers. Matt's with us once again, 801-438-7058. That's the number to call right now. And let's get your hearing where it needs to be. And I think you're dealing with probably a lot more younger people coming in these days, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. You know, what's nice is we get technology better and it can sync to do things besides just help your hearing, where, you know, a lot of people want to listen to their podcasts, a lot of people want to listen to their books or their shows. They can use them as AirPods as well. So it kind of encourages people. The stigma of hearing aids and the look, we've talked about the look of these hearing aids and how teeny tiny they are. Sleek. I mean, it's nice. This one's a nice black color slate. So whatever you need, we can kind of work it out. The fun thing with getting a younger clientele is that we know that these people are careful and actually care about their health. And we know that they're going to take it pretty seriously. And so when you get a younger person in, you're able to tell them a little bit more about how it's going to help them long term. And especially as they get into their golden years. Because, you know, I don't know, your grandparents, my grandparents didn't all wear the hearing aids like they should have.
Yeah.
And couldn't really communicate them when they were younger.
Can hearing aids slow down or stop the active loss of hearing?
Yeah, we cannot claim that they stop hearing loss, but they definitely have been proven to slow down hearing loss. They've actually done studies as much as getting siblings or people that have very similar body makeup and show a person that gets hearing loss or hearing aids that have a hearing loss, a person that doesn't, and what their effects are 5-10 years down the road. And it's dramatic. You know, a person that has a hearing loss and doesn't take care of it, later down the road, it gets really, can get really, really bad. Versus the person that takes care of it, down the road, it gets a little bit worse, but because they're taking care of it, they never lose that comprehension. So even though it gets worse, they can still understand what people are saying.
What's the point of no return on hearing loss?
I was just going to ask that. Is there like a percentage, 10, 20%?
Oh, yeah. Lower than 50 is really hard. You know, 20%,
really?
Yeah, 20% is nigh impossible. I mean, we can get people back to 50% understand or 100% understanding that are at 50, but if you get kind of past that 50% understanding, you get down to that, you know, those 30s and 20s, it makes it really hard.
See, I'm just curious. I'd love, Scotty and I, just for us to take the test and see where we are, having headphones on our heads for as long as we've had and our the noise directly in our eardrums.
And since you guys aren't busy, I'm sure we could do that anytime.
We should do that just to see. Yeah, just to see where we're at.
We could certainly do a quick test.
How long
next
does something like that take?
Yeah, yeah. We typically schedule our evaluations with our people about 90 minutes. We spend about 60 minutes doing tests and everything else. The extra 30 minutes is in case we need to do a delivery. For a person like yourself, if we're just going to come in and do a quick test, we could probably get you knocked out in 15 minutes.
But see, what I want...
Listen to a lot of grunge rock in the 90s, too.
Still does.
What I want our listeners to understand is you could come in and get that full evaluation on your hearing. If you've ever wondered where you're at with your hearing,
absolutely,
you get that full evaluation for free.
Yeah.
The tests are going to tell you where you're at, your baseline, your starting point. And not only that, if you do it today, if you just call and get that scheduled, you're going to get a gift card just for coming in, and you're going to get entered to win a free set of these hearing aids.
Yeah.
So why not do this?
Well, let me give you one other good reason is that we had a patient come in. They had a hearing loss that was a sudden hearing loss. They got in a car accident, and because of what happened in the car accident, jostled their hearing, and they actually lost a pretty significant amount of hearing that we could help them out with. If they would have had a hearing test prior to the accident that showed that the hearing that there was a loss of hearing, their insurance would have covered the hearing loss. But because there was no test to prove that they didn't have a hearing loss prior to the accident, it didn't cover the hearing loss. So I always recommend if you're about to go have a medical procedure done, especially if you're driving a lot, you're on the road, if you're in sports and you're gonna get banged up or whatever, have a hearing tested once a year.
Show that baseline.
So you can show a baseline.
What age do you think a yearly hearing test should be?
Oh, if you're noticing hearing loss right then. After that, I'd say if you're 50 plus, you should have a hearing tested every year.
Wow. Call right now, 801-438-7058. That's 801-438-7058. Let's go. Let's get you taken care of right here on the Zone Sports Network.